You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, I just now learned how to use my microphone, meaning I was not using it before somehow. I've been giving you crap for the last week or so. Do you want to just laugh for like 5 seconds?
No, Anthony, you were very professional about my microphone having issues, so I'm going to extend to you the same courtesy and say, you know, despite you making fun of me on both on and off the air repeatedly for not understanding how to use my own mic, you weren't even inputting through yours. You were still using your crappy Mac mic, and like you had paid, how much did you pay for the Blue Yeti mic?
I don't want to go into it.
Okay, so a lot of money, and you just, it was basically a prop. And now it's working. And so that the reason that we sound like we are very soothing on NPR is that Anthony is finally up to the same quality of mic that I am. So hopefully you guys will stop complaining about audio quality.
Actually, mine might be better because mine has this like afro thing on it.
Yeah, but you know, that's just you overcompensating.
I just like to strap, right? I want to make sure there are no other little Anthony Irwins running around hosting mid-tier podcasts and making terrible jokes on Twitter.
But calling us mid-tier is generous.
So what we're going to talk about today, the Lakers were, I don't want to say kind enough, but Josh Hart broke his hand and the Lakers waved.
I'm not laughing at Josh Hart breaking his hand. I'm laughing at Anthony calling it a kindness.
Yeah, well, you know, it was pretty skimpy on topics heading into today.
Yeah, we honestly had nothing. And then Josh Hart broke his hand. The Lakers waived/bought out Corey Brewer in probably the most amicable divorce I've ever seen between a team and a player, where like Brewer was thanking the organization on Twitter. Rob Pelinka gave a glowing quote for the press release thanking Brewer for his time. And so we're going to talk about those guys today and then what that means for the Lakers moving forward. And real quickly, I just wanted to remind you, I am Harrison Fagan. I write for Lakers Nation. Super legit. This is Anthony Irwin that you are also hearing. He writes for Lakers Outsiders.
Huh. I keep going. Let her rip.
He also hosts Locked On NBA Fridays, the national version of this podcast, with the more talented version of me, Adam Morris. And you can find this show. We're going to get into all those topics and all that stuff here in a second. But just a real quick reminder, you can find this show on iTunes, Megaphone, Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, wherever podcasts are sold. And Anthony, what were your first takeaways of the move today? And why are you impressed with how I just ably took the hosting wheel? Because you never listen to our shows when you're not on it.
I mean, you host one national show and your co-host jumps up and thinks he could just take your job.
I'm just saying, you look tired. I'm just going to come in and I'm going to take your minutes.
No, you know what? I can't even, I ordered a robe on Amazon. It came into the mail today. It's like 80 degrees in the studio, but I'm still rocking this robe because it's so damn comfortable. I might look tired just because I'm basically wearing grown-up pajamas, but
that's probably it.
But I will
For the record, it is 2:30 while we are recording this.
So, regarding Josh Hart's injury, first and foremost, my immediate reaction to it was to kick my couch. I hurt my foot. That didn't go over very well. Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma's gotten a ton of headlines. Obviously, Lonzo Ball was always going to get a ton of headlines. Hart is also surrounded by somebody like Julius Randle, who is coming into his own. Brandon Ingram is doing the same thing. And yet, despite playing with so much talent around him and so much promising future talent around him, Josh Hart still asserted himself as the shooting guard of the future, I would say, until, you know, if they signed some, you know, Paul George or...
He was like he was basically stealing minutes from KCP, who's the Lakers' not highest paid player, but I think second.
Right.
And I think it's Lopez, him, and then Dang.
And so, you know, I Hart is, you know, for those who enjoy an underdog, maybe the most positive story on the Lakers, right?
I mean, he was the most positive story in the way that he was the least expected positive story, I would say. Especially coming out of Summer League. Maybe going into Summer League, him and Kuzma were probably about equal in stock. But coming out of Summer League, it was clear Lonzo and Kuzma were going to be the exciting guys to watch this year. Thomas Bryant and Josh Hart, it was less clear what they were going to be. And Josh Hart was, I think, and the other reason that him breaking out is huge, I think, is because, as you and I have discussed many times on this show, he was like the real return. Him and Bryant were the real return from the D'Angelo Russell trade, because the Lakers could have gotten Kuzma had they not allowed the Jazz, right, to trade up with two picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Lakers could have gotten Kuzma, but what they would have missed out on was the two, like, second, or the late first and second round pick that they got from the Jazz for being allowed to move up a couple spots. And so Hart and Bryant showing out this year, and Bryant has definitely shown out in the G League this year. He's getting called up to the Lakers now, although I doubt he'll play very much. It's a big story because it means that the Lakers at least got some talented young guys in the pipeline in exchange for D'Angelo Russell. Now, I'm not at the point yet where I'm going to say Hart's as good as D'Angelo Russell or he's as high of a prospect as D'Angelo Russell. I'm definitely not at the point as high as I am on Thomas Bryant that he's up there. But having both of those guys is nice. And we'll see eventually where the talent shakes out, if that ends up being more than Russell, if it ends up being equal to, or if it just ends up being enough to make that a defensible move when you factor in that you're getting off the Mozgov deal. A lot of that will also depend on how the Lakers use this cap space and free agency, but it's just those two guys are a huge part of evaluating that transaction. And so Hart playing so well was really big for the Lakers moving forward. And, you know, he couldn't be a nicer dude. And it's just like, it's sad to see his season most likely end like this.
Yeah, he's out for at least the next few weeks. In the next segment, we are going to talk about potential solutions to fit those minutes that he is leaving behind. And it's, you know, his minutes have been kind of mitigated after the Isaiah Thomas trade. There was some concern that he wasn't getting enough minutes after the trade. But still, it's a very valuable role that the Lakers will not have for the remainder of their future. So they do have their work cut out for them.
The remainder of the year, not their future. He's not dead.
Yeah, he's not dead.
He posted a very dramatic Instagram post, though, and Larry Nance Jr. and Kyle Kuzma were making fun of him, saying that, like, you know, like, bro, don't act like you died. Your career is not over. You're going to be – Larry was like, I came back in 3 weeks from this.
Did Dwight Howard send him to Jesus? Like,
Dwight Howard just, like, sends out, like, a screen grab of the Instagram post. Lord, carry him now.
We're gonna figure these things out for the remainder of the season until he gets back here in a second.
Real quick, real quick, since we're having fun with social media, Josh Hart is also our first inaugural segment of Life Comes At You Fast Moment of the Week. He tweeted yesterday, as of when we're recording this, Miami is so nice. And then today, quote tweeted himself, never mind, no, it's not.
I hate Miami. I was thinking to myself, the last time the Lakers had 2 days off in that kind of area of the country, they played their worst game of the season against the Orlando Magic. And then now...
We said earlier this, to be fair, we called this earlier this week where I said, I'm not really going to evaluate the Lakers' performance in Miami when they've had 2 days in Miami before that game.
Yeah. Turns out we were right. We got to stop predicting stuff.
Yeah, that prediction turned out far worse than I could have, you know, ever imagined.
So where would you start in terms of guys to the Lakers right now have 2 roster spots between they had 14 guys on their NBA roster, not including two-way guys, but they had 14 guys on their roster. They buy out Corey Brewer. They now have 2 roster spots to play with. Harrison, first off, first and foremost, they are going to fill one of those 2 roster spots, right?
I would imagine so. I mean, there's no reason not to. Right. I think they're going to probably use it to churn 10-way guys, or maybe they end up giving Caruso one of those spots for the rest of the year if he ends up getting called up and playing well. Right now, he's not the one that got the call-up. It was Thomas Bryant got recalled, and Gary Payton II got his call-up. But I do think, like, I think that we should do some roster math really quick in the wake of this injury and this buyout today of Corey Brewer. We didn't talk a lot about Brewer in the previous segment because Hart is by far, I would say, the bigger news. Corey Brewer was kind of out of the rotation anyway, but out of the Lakers' top 10 guys in minutes this year, three of them are no longer on the team now because Brewer is not on the team. Clarkson and Nance are no longer on the team, and Hart is injured. He's also in that top 10. So that leaves like six of the Lakers' top 10 guys in minutes are available to play. So Isaiah Thomas kind of slides into one of those spots because so that may you make it like that's like a seven-man rotation right there. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like, the Lakers aren't going to play a seven-man rotation, and so they're going to have to either bring in some guys or they're going to have to start playing more some of the guys that they have. And I doubt they sign any like veteran free agents, because if you were going to sign a veteran, why not just sign Corey Brewer, you know, or just keep Corey Brewer? I think that they're going to take a chance on some younger guys with these roster spots. And I could be totally wrong. This is just me kind of trying to use logic here, and we'll see what they end up doing. But to me, it would make sense that if they wanted a veteran presence with those spots, they just would have kept Brewer. And so, especially with how good of a guy and how good of an influence he was appearing to be on the young locker room. Like, this is a guy who in training camp was picking up Lonzo full court just so that he could get experience with some level of NBA athleticism, picking him up full court.
I do think so. Brewer, it didn't sound like Brewer wanted out because he wasn't getting enough playing time. I think he wanted to play on a playoff team.
Yeah, which, I think so too.
So you know, in that sense, I don't think keeping Brewer was ever an option.
I guess that does make sense. There's probably a veteran guy out there that's a free agent that just wants to be on a team. Right. Whereas Corey Brewer wanted to be on an NBA team or a
playoff team.
A playoff team.
The last few years we couldn't call them. Yeah. I was kind of wondering about the timing, but if Brewer wanted to be on a playoff team, then there isn't really much that the Lakers could have done to convince him short of making a playoff run, which they weren't going to do without Josh Hart, in my opinion. So, they weren't going to do, period, and definitely not without Josh Hart. And if they made a playoff run with Josh Hart, that would come at the expense of Corey Brewer. So there was just no scenario in which Corey Brewer made much sense for the Lakers, or the Lakers made much sense for Corey Brewer. There are guys on – so the type of names that came up, I sent out a tweet saying that the Lakers have two open roster spots.
Through the past veteran midseason – the veteran midseason's edition of years past.
I'll have to – somewhere in my tweets, I should have pulled them up already. But there's the Manny Harris's, the Jabari Browns, the Vander Blues. Somebody said Travis Ware, but Travis Ware doesn't make much sense because he's more of a power forward. So you need a shooting guard, period. Yeah. And my thing with that is, yes, those guys are technically options. And I would imagine Vander Blue gets an opportunity here to come up and see what he can do.
You think so? Really? After the Lakers waived him, you think that's going to be the guy that they sign? I think that the
at some point
they
knowing
go meant that they were done with the Vander Blue experience.
Based on what we've seen from this front office, right? Like, look at the guys that they've looked at. They're either Palinka, former Palinka clients, or guys who were previously Lakers, right? After that, there isn't really much creativity being shown by the front office. I would like them to show some.
Anthony hating on Magic Johnson again. What a surprise.
Goodness gracious. I hate that guy so much.
Why don't you just bring up that you think D'Angelo Russell would be a better general manager?
Well, it would be nice to have D'Angelo Russell on the team right now.
Oh, my God.
But there are guys. I'm up on realgm.com to see potential guys who are currently free agents, shooting guards who are currently free agents. And let me tell you, the pickings are pretty slim. as one would expect, you have some Randy Foy in there. Do you think going after more of a point guard type and sliding, say, Lonzo or Isaiah Thomas to play a little bit more shooting guard until Josh Hart comes back as an option, or would you rather just outright get a
I honestly a am not guard? Entirely sure that Hart is going to be back this year, because I think that this is something that they're going to be really careful with going forward.
Yeah.
And, like, this can be a lengthy injury. Larry Nance Jr. came back pretty quick, but there's just not that much time left in the season. And so I think there's a chance we don't see Hart again this year.
It says 3 to 4 weeks right now, which gives him a month, which maybe he comes back and plays, like, 5 games.
Yeah. And so at that point, maybe you just hold him out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He's young enough that maybe they'll give him a shot. But I think it's something that they should be ultra careful with. And so I think we will see a lot more of there's been a lot of talk about that, that like two guard, you know, like the two guard Lonzo and Isaiah Thomas lineup. And so I think that we're going to see a lot more of that. And beyond that, I think the other question that's like worth discussing, and the other guy that no one's really talking about, but that the Lakers have on their roster at this point, is there that much to be lost by playing Lou Alden?
Yes.
I mean, other than games?
Well, the problem with playing Lou Alden is we don't know what kind of shape he's kept himself in this year. Right? Like, I asked Caron Butler when we were at Spectrum, basically, what do pro players, what do veterans do in situations like Lou Alden is in currently, right? What do you try to do? And he said, well, you know, you go into the facility every so often. And this isn't to say that this is definitely what Lou Alden is doing, but basically your number one priority is to stay out of trouble. Just don't bring negative press to the team that is paying you to basically go on vacation.
And he hasn't really.
And he's done a great job at that. I would agree. He's not Joakim Noah, right? Joakim Noah. No. Joakim Noah was asked to leave the Knicks because he was starting to create some issues because he wasn't getting playing time.
Man, right. imagine getting told, like, go home. We're still going to pay you your $64 million, but please don't show up to work.
Please stay away from
everything. That is a level of job security that I would very much like.
Well, it's not necessarily job security, is it?
Yeah, it is. Or financial security.
All these guys are financially secure. But what I mean is that, like, at the end of Joakim Noah's contract, it's over, right?
$64 million, man.
That's fair. But I would say, though, that I don't think Lou Alden is really an option, because you just don't know. There hasn't been reports throughout the year of, wow, look how great a shape Lou Alden is keeping himself in. And if the Lakers wanted to...
The media don't see him. They only see him, like, hanging out, like, shooting with the young guys after practice. But he goes through full practice every day. He does conditioning stuff while the Lakers are playing.
Where do you play him?
I mean, unfortunately, it would be at the three.
The lineups that they're – look, I think the burden is going to fall on KCP. It's going to fall on Lonzo. To a certain extent, Isaiah, because he's going to be asked to play a few more minutes. And then whichever guys – and this is what you and I agreed about, the 10-day contract guys that the Lakers are going to look at. And you and I, we'll go over those names here in a second. Lou Alden, really? Lou Alden?
Yeah. I mean, hey, like, he's on the team. There would be some value in reestablishing his value. Like, what if he is in shape? What if he comes in and he just has a random 3-point shooting hot streak, and the Lakers can convince the team to take him for like 2 seconds instead of a first? I'm just saying.
You're Mr.
Speak it into existence.
You're we have predicted some wild stuff.
I'm saying
stuff.
We're on fire so far. We just need to, like, we need to have a podcast. Is Lou Alden the answer to the Lakers' problems? And we're going to solve all the Lakers' problems.
We're going to have to put a poll together. What is more likely, that the Lakers move Lou Alden for a couple second rounders, or Harrison and I wind up millionaires? Both of which we predicted.
Hey, I told somebody yesterday that I wouldn't walk away from watching Lakers games for like less than a couple million dollars, because that's my livelihood for the rest. Like, I don't have a backup plan. So
not even another team?
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, like, I could cover another team if I just didn't go to their games against the Lakers with that scenario. So that'd be pretty sweet, honestly.
That'd be funny. Net $2 million and then just
and then
skip
go
out
cover
on
the Bucks. I got this.
And you just got to miss 2 games a year.
Yeah.
You got it. We just figured out your career. You're welcome, dude.
Thanks, man. I need some, like, job guidance, honestly.
So, guys, that I brought up basically, of the names that I brought up, you sounded pretty negative. You sounded pretty down on Vanderblue. Randy Foy.
Hold on now. Like, I'm not down on Vanderblue. I just think if the Lakers were going to give him a shot, that would have happened by now.
Well, circumstances
They've just gone around on this merry-go-round so many times. I just don't see them being like, oh, you know, we're just going to give him another try. Maybe this time it works out.
And, you know, unfortunately, one prominent name that people might have pointed to is now potentially off the market. Tomer Azerley, who covers the Clippers, says, source, I'm told the Clippers are considering free agent point guard Derrick Rose, and there isn't much progress on a deal with Tyrone Wallace at the moment. That's interesting. Tyrone Wallace has played really well. That's an interesting one. If they can't figure something out with Tyrone Wallace, then the Lakers should be on the phone with, like, they should start tampering now. Just risk it. Why not?
Yeah.
But they
have no fear of doing that. So
on a scale of 1 to 10, how sad are you that Derrick Rose is not an option?
Like -7.
I would say the same. So I guess it's hard to really point to a name, right? Because 10-day contracts tend to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, but last year I was as high probably on David Nwaba as anyone. I didn't see that 2-way contract, that 10-day contract coming, his first one.
Right. And so, you know, you never know. And that's where, again, that extra $500K that the Lakers gave to KCP is kind of coming back to bite them in the butt. Not only because David Nwaba's been pretty good and is now a fan favorite out there in Chicago, but because now they could really actually use David Nwaba, like, in a bad way. So, you never know.
Pour one out.
I miss him so much. I've been watching a lot more, like, NBA basketball, NBA league-wide basketball, and every so often I'll turn on a Bulls game and Wobble will do. He had some ridiculous dunk against Charlotte yesterday that I was watching, and it was just, man.
He's just, like, he's just gonna, I think for his entire career, going to be perpetually undervalued.
Ooh, maybe not
just
by
because he can't shoot.
Maybe not by fans, but definitely by organizations. I think
he's honestly
always going to be a fan favorite. Somebody who works that hard.
Maybe
is
dedicated
going to be.
Fans. Maybe dedicated fans. I think a lot of fans. I bet among Bulls fans, there are probably some that get fed up with him because they don't watch the game that much, and they're like, "Why is everybody high on this guy? He had 4 points."
Well.
I've learned from covering sports is, like, there's a large majority of box score watchers, mm-hmm. and then, like, a very minority, including this podcast listeners, that actually, like, watch the games and think about this stuff.
Now, our fans, the people who listen to this show, did you guys all hear that? Harrison just called you all dumb box score
watchers.
No,
I did not.
I
said that they actually watch games because I know this because I interact with them on Twitter. Unlike you, you're just like, I don't want to talk to you unless it's an iTunes review. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll reach out and have start a dialogue with you guys. Yeah. As always, I'm here for you guys. Okay?
I did.
I'm your friend. Anthony is the person we are both fighting against.
But I am wearing a robe at 2:30 in the afternoon. So who's really winning here?
See, this is like the type of heel stuff, which is why our audience hates you and is always offering me money to do a solo podcast.
Did you get to $22 yesterday?
No, no one Venmo'd me anything. You guys are all talk about hating Anthony. Could put your money where your mouth was.
All right.
You
guys are going to walk away frustrated with this because I could just rattle off names from this list, but nobody wants to listen to that.
Rattle off some names. Rattle off. Like, who's out there? Just, I'm curious because I didn't look this up.
Oh, well, Barbosa is one. He's out there in Brazil
Brazilian
right
blur.
Now. Huh?
Okay. This is going to be just like a really sad list, isn't it?
He's less blur right now. So much as, like, you know, running paint.
Brazilian blob.
He's not. I don't think that'll ever happen in the entirety of his life. Matt Barnes is out there, but no. James Blackman Jr., who I've never heard of. Vander Blue, who I've already talked about. Taylor Braun, I've never heard of. Nicholas Brusino, never heard him. Troy Kaupin.
You're making up some of these names.
Nope, these are all.
Are you sure these are NBA free agents, not NFL?
Tony Romo? No. Jordan Crawford is still out there. George DePaula. Daniel Dixon. These are, I mean, the guy we could have on the show at some point is Ben Rosales. To you know, he would know a few names that he might have heard a few of these guys. Larry Drew is out there. Mike Dunleavy is out there, but he's pretty much done. Monte Ellis, Have It All, is out there.
Let's bring in Monte Ellis. I'm with this one, actually.
I already talked about Randy Foy.
Just to see, like, him and Isaiah Thomas eventually, like, fight, because neither will stop shooting.
Alonzo G., Archie Goodwin, Torian Graham, Alex Hamilton, Hamilton.
This is sad. Come on, there's got to be some better guys than this.
Gerald Henderson, Terry Henderson. Roy Hibbert's out there. You want more of that?
Yeah, shooting guard.
Marcelino Huertas, he's out there.
Let's bring back the Catalyst.
John Jenkins, Jinglehammer Schmidt, that guy's out there.
Yeah, there's Dante Jones. I mean, the reason I wanted you to read these names is to illustrate that there's very little out there for the Lakers that's going to be get anyone excited. Like, I mean, there are probably going to be like some people that are like, oh yeah, Derrick Rose, let's do it. But like, those people haven't watched basketball since Derrick Rose was making Adidas commercials.
All right, so if the intent is just to tamper with LeBron James, I got a name for you. You ready?
James Jones.
Yes, sir.
Well, too bad he's already working in the Suns front office. So? I don't think that – I think that would be tampering. I don't think that you can sign a guy to play that's working for another team's front office.
Well, I'm sure in his contract he has like a break in case LeBron James needs tampering with clause.
In case LeBron James needs me.
In case LeBron James is in the finals, then I'm available. But yeah, as you just said, the names that are out there are not going to be the type of names that anybody is really going to know about, one, or if you do know about them, two, they are well past their primes, and there's a reason why they are currently available.
They're also probably not the best people. not gonna name any names.
But his name is a flower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what the Lakers do here. It's a real I've been trying to make it as lighthearted as possible, but this really does suck. Josh Hart is one of my favorite young prospects, you know, that aren't of the lottery caliber in quite a while. I think
he's just like, he's so clearly such a hard worker. He's a guy that like every fan's going to love because he knows his role. He plays defense. He looks like he's having fun out there. He works his ass off. And like, is it just in general seems like a good guy, and he's funny. And like he can shoot, and he can play defense, and he can cut, and he can dribble the ball a little bit. Like he's a very promising player, and I think he has an incredibly promising future. This is just an unfortunate like setback to end his rookie year.
Yeah,
and he should have been in the Rising Stars game. That was stupid that he wasn't.
Yeah, not many rookies in the same year would be considered one of their team's best perimeter defenders. Also, potentially one of their better interior one-on-one defenders, depending on the guy that he's going up
against.
He's
stout in the post sometimes.
Yeah. He is also arguably one of the team's best pound-for-pound rebounders.
Plays with a lot of heart.
Shooting nearly 40% from three. Like, this guy, the Lakers found a legit.
If he was on anyone but the Lakers, there would be a lot of bloggers trying to sound smart by saying, I like Josh Hart.
Yeah, I would agree. But nobody
like, you know who you've never heard of that I like? It's Josh Hart. Same answer, like, for everyone.
If Josh Hart was a Spur, everybody would be angry about the fact he was a Spur.
Yeah, like, how did he drop it? Or the Warriors, like, if he had dropped a couple more spots and, like, went in, like, the Jordan Bell range or something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
there'd be, like, features written on how, because he was a four-year guy, the Warriors knew that he could immediately contribute and all this stuff. Like, it's just because he's on the Lakers that then, like, he's around the Lonzo sideshow and Kuzmania and all that stuff. He's just not getting any attention. But he's going to be a big part of their future.
Yep.
And he's so beloved by fans. I still remember this. People were angry when I said he's going to be a 10-year pro. 10 years is a long career in the NBA.
Wait, they were angry
because they were saying that was low. 10 years is like a long career in the NBA.
That's like double the length of the average career.
Yeah. And he's like, I think 23, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Played till he's 33.
That's honestly like a generous estimate.
Yeah. I think it's right about right. I think it's right about right.
I think about 10 years for Josh Hart.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a compliment. I promise I mean that as a compliment. This isn't me hating on people.
Harrison Fagan, consummate hater. That's all I can say. But yeah. Get better. Please get better, Josh Hart. The Lakers, as Harrison talked about earlier, the Lakers' top priority is to make sure that he makes a full recovery, full and lengthy, sustainable recovery. Fortunately, it's his shooting hand. It's not his shooting hand, sorry. It's his left hand. And if you guys have watched him shoot closely, the ball doesn't spend very much time in that left hand at all. So, yeah, get better, Josh. We'll see what the Lakers have to do. The next time Harrison and I talk to you, we will have an actual game to talk about. We might get a slight preview of the way that the Lakers intend to handle this injury and handle post-Corey Brewer. We'll pour a little out for our homie Corey Brewer, who, look, I can't stand watching him play basketball, but legitimately one of the most insightful people I have ever seen in covering sports.
Really, he's really good guy, really big impact on this young locker room. Like you honestly, like, sometimes that stuff gets overstated. In the case of Corey Brewer, I do not think it was overstated. I think he very much was a leader for this team. He was always a guy I saw with his arm around a guy whispering in his ear. He was always like a guy that was just kind of like very clearly around the young guys and trying to help them out.
Yep. All right. So everybody have a great day. Remember, you can follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HM Fagan. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Make sure you guys are...
Alexa was the one I forgot in the intro. That's mm-hmm. my bad.
Mm-hmm. This is why I did this, to show you how it's done. Okay. Make sure you guys are following Locked On Lakers. We might have a pretty nice...
We're going to have... exciting announcement next couple days.
Pretty soon. So make sure you guys are following at Locked On Lakers. And if you guys have any questions, comments, or anything like that, send them to the iTunes reviews with a 5-star review. Those things really help us. They legitimately help us. They allow us to continue to grow our audience so that we can continue to do bigger and better shows for you guys. So keep doing that stuff, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.